the Browns going down south to Jacksonville in a game that they are underdogs. I believe the line opened up at 3.5 points. Going to the Jacksonville Jaguars and to talk Jags football. This game, a lot of fun stuff here. Finally, we can talk football with Tony Boselli, Pro Football Hall of Fame, offensive tackle, Jags radio analyst on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tony, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
It is. It's good to have you here. And, you know, specific to this game, Jacksonville really didn't play that bad in week one, even though they took the L. Where is this team early in this season as you get ready for this game?
Well, I think there's a lot of frustration because they've lost 6 of the 7 games after being 8-3 in right on, you know, last year on the verge of having a chance to, you know, even capture a number one seed, and they end up missing the playoffs. And so all that led to a bunch of high hopes and saying, hey, we need to, you know, we need to finish, we need to overcome adversity, so on and so forth. And then you have the opening game where for 3 quarters, I mean, you're getting ready to go up 24-7, end of the third. And you have a bad play, ETN fumbles, and it just crumbles from there. And I think there's a lot of frustration saying, you know, why can't we finish? We need to finish games. We need to be able to, you know, overcome adversity. And this is every game's a big game in the NFL every week, but this has turned into a really big home opener for this team to get back on track because they feel like they're a much better team than they finished last year. And they're a much better team than they played opening day out down in Miami.
What do you think of the rebrand Trevor Bank Stadium for the home opener?
Yeah, I'm sure Everbank's probably not happy about that. I think they pay a lot of money to have their name on that stadium. I'm sure.
So,
Trevor has to play well. There's no doubt about it. But he doesn't need any added pressure. He already got his big contract. I don't think he needs his name on the stadium.
So with that, there was generational hype when he came out. There is Trevor Bank. I'm just curious, like, why to this point, under Doug Peterson, has Trevor not ascended to a level in what has been a little bit more consistent than obviously that first year of his career with Urban?
Well, you know, listen, there's a long list of reasons and excuses and everything else, but the bottom line is Trevor needs to take his game to the next level where I think everyone, you know, I'm a big believer in Trevor, you know, where he's in that upper echelon of quarterbacks. Now, if you take a step back and just take the emotion out of it and look at the situation, you know, year one throwaway, the Urban Meyer disaster. Had a good second year, first year in Doug's system. Last year they started well. They were 8-3 under him. And then the injury bug went crazy and he got hit a lot and he got injured. He had a shoulder, he had a knee, he had an ankle. I mean, the guy was, and he sucked and fought through it, but it impacted his play overall and they had a bunch of injuries on the offensive line as well. They couldn't protect him. So, you know, all those things, you know, yes, you can either look at those as excuses or part of the reason he hasn't put up the numbers that he should have. And the first half of last week, he was dynamic. They were great, moving the ball down the field, even through the first 3 quarters, and then it was just stalled out. And they were very conservative running the ball. They thought they could run the ball better in the fourth quarter. They didn't get that done. Like everything, it's never one thing. You guys know this. You cover this game on time. It's never one thing in football. But at the end of the day, it's on the onus and the responsibility is on the player. Your best players have to play great. And that's what the expectations of Trevor Lawrence are.
You know, Tony, this past weekend, the Browns offense just couldn't function against the Cowboys. And, you know, a lot of fans here are saying, well, you know, coming in this week, they don't have to deal with Michael Parsons. They don't have to deal with Dexter Lawrence. They don't have to deal with that Dallas defense and that Dallas secondary. So what are the Browns up against when it comes to this Jaguars, D?
Yeah, I don't think they have a Michael Parsons, but they got 2 really good defensive ends in Josh Hines-Allen and Trayvon Walker. Those are 2 guys who get after the quarterback. Eric Armstead, you know, 10-year vet coming from San Francisco. He plays inside, outside. He had a sack and played well week one against the Dolphins. He's another pass rusher. So, I mean, the offensive line better be ready. They got some big physical guys. They added speed on the back half. They lost their number one corner in Tyson Campbell, who's going to be out for probably 4 weeks with a hamstring. But they're big. They got some big physical guys, and they can get after it a little bit. And it's a group that feels like they underperformed week one, and that they need to pick it up. So there's a fire you know, and under everyone's backside in that organization right now. And they got talent, and so it'll be interesting to see how they respond.
Hall of Famer Tony Boselli and Jags radio analyst on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, obviously, week one didn't go well for the Browns. There's another off-the-field issue with Deshaun Watson. I'm just curious, how do you feel about this game with, you know, the Jags matching up against this Browns team?
I mean, I like the matchup. I mean, listen, if you just look at it, you know, at what the Browns are, they are a very good defense and an offense that can't function right now. Mm-hmm. And you can argue why they don't function. They've lost, you know, their two tackles, a lot of injuries up front, great. Their number one back, Nick Chubb, out. Okay, great. But at the end of the day, it's about the quarterback. I mean, you guys paid $250 million guaranteed to a guy that you expected to go be that guy, and he has not done it yet. Now, is that because he's getting too much pressure? You know, whatever the reason is, it doesn't really matter. You know, he's got to play better for that offense to function. Now, defensively, this Cleveland team is special because I believe they have the best defensive player in football in Myles Garrett. And so that, and they got a bunch of good, you know, physical, get-after-you type of guys. And so I think the Browns, I mean, as I look at this game from the Jaguars' perspective, is like, just don't turn the ball over. Don't give that offense any short fields. Don't, you know, allow them to have any easy points. And if you do that and play smart, I don't think the Browns can outscore the Jaguars in this game. I think it's a low-scoring game because I think it's going to be hard to move the ball against that defense. But based on what I've seen so far, you know, it's a small sample size, and the Cowboys are very good, no doubt about it. I think the Browns are going to struggle to score, until they protect better and the quarterback plays better.
Tony, you've watched Deshaun Watson for a long time now. How different is the Deshaun that you're seeing here in Cleveland from the guy that you saw in Houston, and what theory do you have on why that's happened?
Well, it's much different. It's hard to measure the magnitude of difference, but it's not hard to figure out why. The guy basically sat out 2 years of football. Like, just tell me the number of guys who have sat out the game for 2 years and came back and were the same player. Mm. I mean, and at that position, it's tough. And that coupled with all the off-field issues this guy has, and they're back out there now with another allegation. I'm not weighing in whether it's true or not. I have no idea. But that's a lot. And to play this game, especially in the quarterback position, you got to be singularly focused on playing the game. That's what all the great ones have been able to do. Prepare yourself, focus, lead. Focus on the game, you know, that's your whole life during the season. And this is a guy who has a lot going on and sat out and missed a lot of football. So, and I think that's why you're not seeing the same player that we saw early in his career in Houston.
Tony, were you ever in a locker room dealing with a distraction to the level of what the Browns are dealing with again with Deshaun's off the field accusations and lawsuits and what they did 2 years ago?
Have I ever played with a guy who's been accused by 20 women?
No, I meant more.
Yeah, no, I have not. My point is, the level of distraction is high. Like, there's only a few. I mean, think about across the history of this league. I'm trying to think of. I mean, there's a handful of situations like this where it's like the. I mean, that was the story in the NFL for a long time, which meaning was the story in Cleveland and the story in that locker room. And right when you thought it was over. He got through the suspension last year, so on and so forth, and everything else. He gets hurt. That's not great. Okay, let's get through that. I got to imagine you're believing. I mean, as a player, as an organization, coach, everybody, he's like, okay, that is all behind us. Let's just go play football now. Mm-hmm. Let's get the Deshaun Watson we traded for. We got a talented defense. Let's go play football. And now for this to pop up, another woman making an accusation of some sort of sexual assault or whatever happened, it just is like, I got to believe everyone in that locker room, the organization's going, are you kidding me? We're going to go through this circus and this kind of media like scrutiny again? It's tough. But as a player, you've got to, you know, speaking as a guy, everyone else in that locker room besides Deshaun, this guy said, listen, we can't control that. Mm-hmm. But we just got to go play. And, you know, do whatever, you know, support the guy or whatever you have to do, but we got to go do our jobs because this thing's going to keep on going. I mean, the NFL season is going to keep on going. The Deshaun's off-the-field stuff will take a life of its own. But if we start worrying about that, we have no chance to have success on the field. So it takes extra discipline, but it's hard. I've never in my career been around. I mean, you have distractions. You have guys get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Guys do stuff. Things come up. But not to this level where it is the story. It was the story in the NFL. And all of a sudden, you think it's gone, and all of a sudden it looks like it's kind of coming back.
Do you believe Deshaun can ever be the guy that the Browns believed they traded for?
Boy, this is like hard hitting, like tough. I wonder if I should give my presidential debate answer and just not answer the question, or do I actually answer that? That's a dangerous one.
We will accept. I do not recall.
I can't remember.
You know, I'm not sure. You know, I was playing football back in the sixth grade. I don't know. Let me put it this way. I don't want to ever bet against somebody. Because, like, when people bet against me, I'm like, okay, I'll go show you. And right. I think the human will, and, I mean, there's a reason Deshaun got to the level he was, a quality player. There's obviously a drive and a competitiveness, and I will never discount that in an individual. But I'll say this. I think it's an uphill battle.
Tony, great stuff. Really appreciate you. Outside of this weekend, best of luck, best of health, buddy.
Hey, you guys too. I hope you guys have a great year up there. Besides this week, I hope you guys take another L. But after that, have a great year. I'll say this. Cleveland is a great sports town with great fans. And anytime you have that combination, I always root for those teams outside of when they play my Jaguars.
Very nice Love thing that. To say. We appreciate you, buddy.
All right, guys.
Tony Boselli there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.